It's special to be together today. Our scripture lesson today is taken from Luke chapter 5, and I invite you to open your Bibles to that. Luke chapter 5, and we begin at verse 27. Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to the sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." They said to him, "John's disciples often fast and pray, and so did the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking." Jesus answered, "Can you make the guest of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast." He told them this parable. "No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins, and no one after drinking old wine wants the new. For he says, the old is better." About 49 years ago, a young pastor by the name of James Kennedy started a whole new church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and he called it the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. In those early days, only 45 people made it to worship services every week, and so Kennedy decided to do something about that. He created a home visitation program called Evangelism Explosion. Some of you may remember that. And from there, things took off. The place became the fastest growing Presbyterian church in America. The church became world famous for its music, for its education ministries, for its radio and television outreach. And the church became very well known for taking very public stands on conservative political issues. Well, a couple days after Christmas of 2006, Dr. Kennedy had a terrible heart attack. The next summer, he announced his retirement, and only 10 days later, he died. Well, just this last Easter of 2009, the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church installed a new pastor. His name is Tulian Chavijan. It's a rather hard name to say. He's 37 years old, and he is the grandson of Billy Graham. So he knows something about preaching, he knows something about spiritual leadership, and there's a lot of excitement going on in the Coral Ridge Church these days. Worship attendance has doubled. 300 people have joined the church. Another 192 people are signed up for the new membership class. And still other people are excited for other reasons. You see, even though Pastor Tulian is theologically conservative, he's nothing like the old pastor. His ways are totally different. He's come in and made sweeping changes in the place. For one thing, he doesn't come to church and do things the old ways. He likes contemporary worship services. And unlike Dr. Kennedy, he does not wear the vestments. He doesn't wear the liturgical robes. In fact, he sports spiky haircuts and sometimes a scruffy beard. He doesn't like to use politics to leverage social change. He'd rather just open the Word of God and preach the passages. And what's more, he's pulled the whole plug on their TV ministry. There are hundreds of people in that church who are not happy with the new pastor. In fact, the one leading the charge has been Kennedy's own daughter. She, along with the minister of music and the choir director and most of the members of the choir, have been doing everything they can to get the new pastor fired. And when they failed to do that, just a few weeks ago, they decided to bolt. And they took 400 people with them to start a whole new church. Now, I think that you will agree with me that our friends at the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church are not the only ones who struggle with traditionalism. You and I struggle with it in one way or another every day of the week. I mean, like Bob Dylan says in his song, the times are a-changing. I mean, they are changing at warp speed. And postmodern thinking is putting us onto a collision course with the way we've known things in the past. It shows up in the way we do business today and the way we do government. It shows up in our family definitions, in our gender definition of roles. It shows up in our family relationships, particularly in how we interact with our teenagers and our young adults. It is seen in the way we do church today. And I mean like what we wear to church and our worship services, our church structures, and the way we do public evangelism. The whole thing has put us into this massive tug of war between that which is familiar and traditional and that which is new. Now, I think that we need to be very clear that traditions have their place. Traditions can be very good. In fact, I happen to agree with Dr. James Dobson when he says the great value of traditions comes as they give a family a sense of identity, a belongingness. All of us desperately need to feel that we're not just a cluster of people living together in a house, but we're a family that's conscious of its uniqueness, its personality, character, and heritage, and that our special relationships of love and companionship make us a unit with identity and personality. So traditions have value. Traditionalism does not. Traditionalism is this perfunctory going through the motions with no thought, with no meaning. Traditionalism is more concerned with matters of style than it is with matters of substance. Traditionalism is resistant to change. It is always suspicious of that which is new. Traditionalism confuses applications of truth to a particular time and place with the timeless principles of God's Word. Traditionalism takes the freedom and the freshness that the Holy Spirit longs to breathe into our lives and puts it into this lockbox called traditionalism. Traditionalism is something that the people at the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church struggle with. Traditionalism is something that we struggle with ourselves. Traditionalism is something that people in the time of Jesus struggled with. We can see that in our story for today here in Luke 5. There we meet a fat cat by the name of Levi Matthew, a tax collector sitting at his desk humming that dreadful dirge, "You can take this job and shove it." They that wrote that song back then, I suspect, because that's what he was singing. He was fabulously wealthy, but he hated his job and he hated everything that life stood for because he was looking for something better. And one day, Jesus showed up at his tax booth, and with a gleam in his eye and a smile, he beckoned to him and said, "Levi, Matthew, come follow me." Well, Matthew didn't have to be asked twice. He jumped to his feet. He shoved his cash box aside. He brushed his bulging files aside. And he said to his friends, "I'm out of here. I'm going to follow Jesus." Well, the whole thing must have created quite a stir because the Pharisees were down on the street in no time flat granting interviews to the media. "Did you see what Jesus just did?" they said. I mean, this time he really scraped the bottom of the barrel. Anyone who would go and call a tax collector to be one of his followers has got to be a little crazy. It's the dumbest thing a guy could ever do. Why, it's enough to make you question Jesus' credentials. The whole thing created a great deal of stir, a great deal of excitement among the tax collectors. "Well, well, well," they said. "Did you see what Jesus did? Why, if Jesus wants to hang around with the likes of people like Levi Matthew, maybe there's hope for us." And wanting to leverage the moment, Levi Matthew decided to throw a lavish dinner party at his Nob Hill home. There he invited all his friends, his tax collector friends, to come have dinner with him, and he invited Jesus to be his guest of honor. It was a fabulous affair. Crisp linen tablecloths and beautiful floral centerpieces. There was the clink of fine china and the ring of beautiful crystal. There was platters piled high with beautiful food and plenty of drinks to go around. Everyone just sat back and relaxed and enjoyed the moment. Everyone told their funniest stories and laughed their heads off. Everyone had the time of their lives, and no one had more fun that night than Jesus Christ himself. It was then that the doom and gloom committee began to show up. They began to hang around the windows there at Matthew's dining room, and when they looked inside to see what was going on, they almost choked on their supper. "What have we here?" they said. "Why, Jesus is eating with tax collectors and other notorious sinners." It was enough to make them choke on their supper. Now, there is something I want you to notice here. Traditionalists are great finger pointers. But not only that, they are incredible cowards. They never go direct with the people they are concerned with. They go around them. They're subversive about the whole thing. And so the sourpuss gang chairman cleared his throat, and he said to the disciples of Jesus, "What have we here? You're eating with the riffraff. Do you have any idea how disgusting that is?" And boy, those disciples felt themselves broadsided. They were stunned by it all. They were totally intimidated by the gang, but not Jesus. Jesus jumped right into the conversation, and he said, "You know what, guys? I've never seen healthy people lining up at the doctor's offices. It's always sick people who go to see the doctor. And what you need to know is that this is my waiting room. I've got all these people here who are sick and tired of ho-hum monochromatic living. People are sick and tired of stuck in the mud religion. I have come to give them life and health and joy in their lives." The folks there, the Pharisees, like, "What do we do with that?" So they cleared their throat, they scratched their head, and they said, "You know what, Jesus? We're a lot like the disciples of John. We fast and we pray. And maybe you're